If you got your Bible, turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter 16. We'll just look at verse 25. The Bible says this: there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank and praise You, God, for Your precious word of truth. And we ask You, Lord, that You touch us and help us, give us tonight that, God, that we stand in need of, and we might take Your word, apply it to our hearts, that we might be hoping here tonight through the hand of Almighty God. Lord, pray You'd touch our hearts, our heads. God, I pray You'd help us take Your word. Lord, pray that You'd give us a teachable spirit, that we might take Your word, apply it to our own hearts individually. Lord, it's easy for us sometimes to say, Lord, touch my brother or my sister. But Lord, I ask You tonight in Jesus' name, God, that You touch me. God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God move upon us, that You touch us from top to head, soles of our feet, anoint us, God, touch these old stammering lips of clay. Give us that to say, God, and encourage somebody's heart this evening. Help us, God, that we might be drawn closer to You than we've ever been in a right relationship before a thrice holy God. Lord, we just love You and thank You. Ask You for just touch us, help us. I thank You for what You've been doing, what You're going to do, what You want to do right now, God, for Your people. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd stir a spirit revival. And pray, Lord God, this evening that You'd start with me. Lord, I need it, God. Have Your will away now, God, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Brother Charles, I want to preach on this thought tonight on looking for the right way, the enemy that's in the way. Amen? Looking for the right way and the enemy that's in the way. As we look at this tonight and we look at Proverbs here, we see God speaking to us. And these texts I'm going to give you out of Proverbs tonight, it's making a statement. Okay? Let's just think of it as making a statement to you and to I. Praise God. We can take and glean out of it what the writer of Proverbs is trying to tell us so that we can continue for the glory of God. He says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And you know, we can look at that tonight, and we can look at the world that we live in and the chaos that's everywhere. And honestly, a lot of these people believe what they're doing is probably they believe in their heart, their mind, or their mind rather, that it's right. Amen? And now you and I look at it in a different perspective as Christians with a kind of love in our heart, and we say, man, these people's lost their mind. Amen? No, what they got, what the problem is they're missing God. Amen. Because we got to be careful we're not too critical on people, because what we have in the world today is a whole lot of folks that's lost without God. Amen. Praise God. And so they're looking for a way that's right, but they don't know what right is. How do you find right when you don't have an example? I got to think about that. Boy, it troubled my heart. There's a whole lot of, and a whole lot of, especially our younger people that's coming up now, come up behind some of, say, 50-ish people. They were never churched. They were never taken to church. They were never taught the things of God. They were never brought up under the principles of the Word of God. And so they're at a loss. Amen. And they're looking for a right way, but they don't know the right way. That's why, Brother Bill, we need to be witnesses in the day and hour. We live like we've never been before. Because all these people that we see in the streets and protests and all this radical crazy stuff is people trying to find something that's right. And I tell you what, we need more than anything, we need the love of God to shed abroad in their heart. Amen. But said they're looking for what's right. Amen. What seems right is what they're seeing, but what is right is God's ways. Amen. Man's ways are not right ways. I said the other day, if man is left to himself, the world will be destroyed. Yeah. Amen. If we were left to ourselves, we would destroy the world that God created. But I'm glad that God's still in control. So we see this, and we see the writer here, he's talking to us about this, and he says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. But if you go back up and look at the statement they made, now we're talking about a statement here. In verse number 7, the Bible says this, in Proverbs 16, verse 7. He said, when a man's ways please the Lord, amen. You know who's happy? God's happy. You'll be happy. People around you will be happy. Amen. Listen to what he said. He said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Amen? You know, it's hard to stay mad at somebody that loves you and just keeps loving on you. Amen. Even my little wife, when I get her upset, I don't know why she'd ever get upset with me. Amen. But because she knows I love her, she gets over it. Amen. She's never packed up. And of course, I told her if she ever left, she had to give me a few days' notice. And she said, why? So I can pack up because I'm going with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he says, if a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord. Now see these statements that he's making here. That if a man's ways, mine and your ways, are pleasing to the Lord. So our mindset, and we've been preaching this way for a while, I just can't get over it, our aspect on life is that our life can be pleasing to the Lord and everything else starts falling in place. God's rejoicing, heaven, angels rejoicing with Him, praise God. We feel good down in our souls, amen. People around us start seeing Christ in us. I was talking to a fellow this week, his people go to this church. Now, I don't know he goes to church, but I was talking to him and he said, I want you to keep doing what you're doing because it seems to be working. Amen. And bless my heart as a pastor, Brother Bill, because he's seeing something in them, praise God, that he sees as good. And it was because they come to church at Stony Fork Baptist Church. I said, glory, hallelujah. I told him, well, it's just the Lord. It ain't me, but it's the Lord that's working in them, that makes that difference in them. And he said, if a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, everything's going to be better. Amen. See, we've lost our emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've lost our relationship with God Almighty. We forgot that He is the Creator and God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That He is Jehovah, our God. A lot of people in the world think, well, yeah, I believe God created all this, but they don't have Him as their God. He is the God, but He's not their God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see if a man's life is pleasing to the Lord, he maketh even his enemy be at peace with him. Now look at verse 9. He said, a man's heart deviseth his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. Now I want you to look at this right quickly with me for just a minute. I just want to look at this, break it down for just a second so we can see this. Now remember, he's making a statement here. We're making a statement. We're seeing what the Word has to say to us tonight, so it'll direct our heart. Okay? A man's heart deviseth his way. Now, what that word deviseth, I looked it up in my Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, and it says that word deviseth means to consider. Amen? It means to contrive. Now that word contrive means to form or design. So he says, you think upon it, you meditate upon it. He said, begin to form a design, a plan, amen, in your mind. He said, to lay a plan, to form a scheme. Amen. So as we look at this and we see, he said a man's heart devises his way. So a man begins to consider, he begins to contrive, he begins to lay a plan and form a scheme. Amen. Now how's that going to work out for you if God ain't in it? Amen. How is that going to work out for you and I if God ain't in it? But see, God is the one that makes a difference in our life. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, through the Holy Spirit, that He said, I'll send to you to comfort you. So when you're planning and contriving and making decisions and planning a scheme for your life and whatever, pray God, He said, I'll be there with you to guide you. Amen. What's happening in the world today is we don't have nobody to guide us. Right, when it comes to our trip, praise God, we're running on empty. Amen. We ain't got no fuel to get us there. We get started. Amen. But we don't have nothing. We don't have the octane to get us to where we're going. can't make it to the destination. So we see a statement here. What he's saying to us, he said that we need to have a statement. He said, I need to have a purposeful heart. A heart full of purpose. Amen? You know what's wrong with most of our Baptist churches today, Brother Bill? The people sitting there don't have a purpose. Hey, oh, preacher, I do have a purpose. What is it? When it comes to pleasing God, when it comes to getting, contriving and considering and setting your scheme and making a plan, what is it? I'll just be honest, most of us don't have one. I'll just use myself. For years and years, I was just coming to church. Amen? Even when I got to where I was faithful, while I wasn't, shame on me. But I was coming to church. But I didn't have a purposeful life to do something for the glory of God. So in the statement we see here, the Bible's teaching us here, praise God, that we need to have a purposeful heart toward God. In other words, what he's saying is our heart must be devoted to God's purpose. So what's God's purpose? Amen. That all would come to know Him and the free pardon of sin. Amen. Everyone. So our heart has to be devoted to the Lord. It, your heart. If it's not, it'll lead you astray. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. If your heart is not devoted to God, someplace in time, your old body, your flesh will draw you away. It'll take you astray. It'll take you away from God. And I pray probably we can say tonight that probably every one of us has been there.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You'll get started out right. You'll get a focus, and it'll be like a laser. And all of a sudden, you start your mind will start whifting. Your mind will start drifting away. And the next thing you know, praise God, your summer's out in left field. And you're looking around to see if you can find God. And you know where you'll find Him? Is right where you left Him. When you took your eyes off of Him, there He is. But He's like the prodigal son's father. He's coming along. He's trying to woo you and get you, draw you back. And boy, it's a good thing when you find your way back home after you've been out for a while. Amen. So we see the statement here. We say what we must do in order to have a relationship, amen, to have a purposeful life toward God. He says that we need to take, number one, we need to take time to think. Ain't that what we read and you're hearing? That we need to stop and think. Amen? You and I have to stop and think. In other words, we got to start thinking for ourselves. We can't let other people tell us what to think. Because if we've said it under the Word of God any time at all, we know what's right. We know what truth is. Amen? And what we have to do is start applying truth, start thinking and applying truth to our situations. As we plan and devise and scheme, amen, we put God into it as we begin to think and meditate upon these things, amen, to comprehend what's going on, amen. In order to get the right attitude for it, then we got to pray and seek God's face. Ask God for His help. For His ministering spirit to touch us and help us and guide us and show us ask Him to give us the right heart and attitude to receive His instruction. Because He's wanting to speak to us. Amen? You say, preacher, how do you get into that fashion? By meditating upon the Word of God. Amen? Don't just read it. Amen? Meditate upon it. So what are we saying? So we're saying that we think about it, we pray about it, and we meditate upon it. In other words, we take time to stop and absorb it. Let me give you a little piece of advice. When you read your Bible, I hope you do. I hope you don't just count on me to give you everything you need to keep you fresh and running well. Amen. If not, from Sunday to Sunday, you'll be stale. I'm just telling you. But if you'll take your Bible and read, and when you take your Bible and when you read, even if it's just a verse or two, get you a little notepad and a pencil or a pen and put it beside you. And as you read it, stop and think about the verse you just read. And if God puts it on your heart, write down a little note. Jot down a little note. You'll be amazed how much your Bible reading will change. God will begin to manifest Himself to you as you begin to meditate, not only just reading it, but meditating upon the Word of God. Amen. Then you can take this and you can begin to make your plans. You see how this starts to come into an order? Now we're just making a statement of how we can, looking for the right way that we might find it. So we begin to, and then we begin to trust the Lord, amen, to guide you in the direction He'd have you to go. Does that not fit? I mean, does it not give us a little layout of what God has for us that can make a difference in our life? Amen. A statement to you and I, praise God, that will lead us so we don't go astray, so we can stay focused. Amen. So that we can have a devoted purpose, like God is devoted to you and I. So we have a plan. We have a statement here. He said we can take time to think, He can pray, we can meditate, we can make a plan, and then just trust the Lord to guide us in that plan. So that we're not just making something haphazardly, but we're putting out a plan, praise God, so that it can come to the full on the other end. Amen? If you're going to set up housekeeping, and you don't have nothing, so you've got to get all the essentials, amen. And then you've got to have a house to put it all in, right? If you get all the essentials, I mean even down to the kitchen table, Brother X, and you ain't got a house to put it in, You're gonna look awful funny sitting out there in the woods or in a field somewhere with your under your kitchen table, amen. So you got to have a perspective and you got to have a plan. So we see a statement here that He's making to us. He's laying out a plan, looking for the right way, amen. Praise God. And then we have not only do we have a statement, but we can apply that. Look at Ezra chapter number 8. I'm going to try to move along quickly. If not, we'll be here all night. Amen. Everybody done eat supper. Everybody's good, so you hang out. Amen. Ezra chapter number 8. We have a statement here of a purposeful heart. And then we go to Ezra chapter 8 and we can apply this through the life of Ezra. Amen. And his journeys and his love for the Lord and for the Word of God. In Ezra chapter number 8 in verse 21, if you got an old Schofield, it's 537. He says this, he said, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava." Now that word Ahava, you can buy that online. You can go in there and get you some of that Ahava. It's hand cream, hand lotion. Amen, some of the best stuff is because they use minerals from the Dead Sea to make it. Amen. And it literally means, that word Ahava literally means to give love. Amen. And boy, it is when you got old callous, broke up hands, praise God, you put that on there and it just love them right back into condition. Amen. But anyway, he said, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God." Now watch this. "To seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way." Back then, there was a lot of road bandits. Amen? A lot of road bandits along the road that would stop them along the way and rob them as they were going. He said, "Because we had spoken to the king, saying, 'The hand of our God is upon them for good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him.'" Amen. So he said, "Hey, listen, the hand of God is upon us." But he said, "When we look at this and we comply this, praise God, we see that God is a moving." And he said, "What we need to do is we need to go before God and we need to seek a right way." Now I like what he says. He said, "For what right way for us and for our little ones and for our substance." See, Ezra was covering all his bases with God. Amen. He was leaving no bases that was empty, praise God, because he was covering all his bases with God. So we see this and we can apply this in the book of Ezra. Amen. We can see it taking place. And we want to just look at this right quick. I got about five things right here I want to show you real quick in about five different places, and we'll go to the house and say praise be to God. Amen. So we see Ezra, number one, he had prepared his heart. In chapter 7, verse 10, the Bible says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." Amen. So we see Ezra, the Bible said he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. The Bible said in Nehemiah that Ezra was a ready scribe. I mean, he was prepared that when God... Now, a scribe was the one that would pin down the Word of God. He would write and transpose the Word of God. And that he was a ready scribe. He was ready to take the oracles of God and to pin them down. Amen. Somebody needed some truth from heaven, praise God, Ezra was ready to pass it out. So we see Ezra, he had a prepared heart. Not only did he have a prepared heart, but he was gifted. He goes on in verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it." Number one, his gift was he was able to do the law of God. He was able to perform it. Amen. Now listen, folks, the law is a hard thing. If you're going to keep the law, you've got to keep the whole law. You can't leave out one thing. If you leave out one thing, if you miss one thing, then you've not fulfilled the law. But he said he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, not only to do it within himself, but to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So we see the gift that he had, not only that he loved God, but he loved people. He loved the Word of God, and he was able to take it to himself and teach it to others. Amen. What are you talking about? I'm talking about applying this to what we know. Praise the Lord. So he could do nothing without God. And he knew it. You know what's wrong with most of us? We think we can and we can't. We can do nothing without God. You say, "Well, preacher, I go every day. I make it through every day without God." No, you don't. If God's hand wasn't upon you, you wouldn't get out of bed. You'd be dead. Amen. He's the one that gives you your breath and helps you to have your being. Amen. So his hand, he knew that he could do nothing without God. He knew he could that the people could do nothing without God. He was willing to study, to show them, to teach them, praise God, the law of God. The truth. Amen. He knew that God's hand was the hand that was providing all of their need. He knew that God's hand was a providing hand. Look at Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. He said, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according," now watch this, "to the hand of the Lord of his God upon him." Amen. Ezra knew, praise God. Somebody tell, "Hey, Ezra, how come the king was so good to you?" Well, the king's hand is upon you. You get all these supply, everything that you've asked of him, everything you've requested, the king has given you. Boy, the king's hand is on you. And I said, "No, it's not." He said, "It's God's hand that's on me." He said, "It's God's hand that's directing the king. It's God's hand that's giving us everything we need." That we're not wanting for anything. He said, "It's God's hand that's providing for our trip. And it's God's hand that'll provide for us when we get there." That's why Ezra would get up on a pulpit of wood and say, "Glory be to God." Amen. Praise the Lord. So God, Ezra seed, amen, and applying as he saw the hand of God, amen, was a providing hand. Not only was it a providing hand, but it was a protecting hand. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 22, the Bible says this. He says, "For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way." Amen. He said, "The enemy's there." But he said, "I was just trust the Lord." He said, "He's spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good to seek him, but his power and his wrath against all them that hath forsaken him." That forsake him. Amen. So he's saying that the protecting hand of God is upon us. He said, without that, we couldn't make it. We'd need some help. He said, because God's hand is there. Amen. He may have wished that he had have asked, but he didn't, because he said, he told the king, praise God, he said, God's hand is upon us. God's hand will protect us. God will be there with us when nobody else can. When the enemy, by the way, amen, attacks us and tries to take us down, praise God, God said he'd help us along the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God's hand is not only a providing hand, but he's a protecting hand. He goes on in verse 31 and says this. He said, then we departed from the river Hava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us. And he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such a, and of such as lay in wait by the way. Amen. Praise God. He said God's hand was not only a providing hand, but it was a protecting hand. It was there to protect him by the way. Amen. As they traveled, they went. Praise God. Ain't you glad God's got a protecting hand today? Ain't you glad God put the protecting hedge about you? Praise God. It gives you enough sense, enough the Holy Ghost of God, amen, to stand up and stand forth and say, glory be to God. I know I can't, but I know God can. He's the God of heaven. He's the God of my life. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Praise God. And I'm so thankful that he's mine, and he's promised he'd always be there to help us on this path called life. Deliver us, save on the other shore. Amen. Amen. I love it when we cross old Chili Jordan. Praise God. I'm glad I'll be following Jesus. He knows where the stepping stones are. Praise God. I believe you can cross that old Chili Jordan, not even get your feet wet. Amen. Old chill of death, praise God, never be upon you. And because that love God's put down in your heart. Amen. So we see God here. Ezra said he's a providing hand. Amen. He's a protecting hand. But he's also said he's an encouraging hand. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 28, look what Ezra says. He says, and he said, and hath extended mercy unto me. Now in verse 27, he's a blessing the name of God. He's magnifying the God of heaven. He said, hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. He said, what God does, not only is he a protecting hand, but God, praise God, has an encouraging hand. It's a hand of encouragement. Praise God, when discouragement will come along, praise God, there's a hand of God that'll overshadow us with a hand of encouragement. And so he'll put his arms around us, pull him to himself, and said, you can go on just a little further. Praise God, it won't be long. You'll come out on the other side, and you'll come out with a shout and not a pout, praise God. Oh, you'll realize how good I've been to you, and that I promised I'd stay with you, and I'll never leave you, praise God. When you come out the other side, I'll still be there. Amen. Sometimes we go into a dark valley. Praise God, when we come out on the other side, we may not come out unscathed. But praise God, why, listen to me. Whatever we go through in that valley, praise God, God goes through it with us. Amen. Praise God. He can't help but be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. When we're weak and have no strength, praise God, he feels that. Amen. Praise God, lay out on the devil when he tries to say, well, nobody cares about me. Look what I'm going through. I had a fellow the other day. I was talking to him. I said, well, God's been good to us. And you know what he said? I said, yeah, he's good to some people. I said, no, he's good to everybody. I said, some circumstances just ain't what we'd like for them to be, but God's good to every one of us. Amen. Amen. He gives us an opportunity to know him that we might have the free pardon of sin. He sent his only begotten Son, praise God, to die for all of us, whosoever, so we could all be saved. So we not only see God's hand as a protecting hand, an encouraging hand, but we see it as an encouraging hand, praise God, strengthening hand. Praise God. Not only as an encouraging hand, but we see it as a guiding hand. Ezra chapter 7, verse 9. The Bible says this. He said, and for upon the first day for the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according, now watch this, to the good hand of his God upon him. Amen. So we see here Ezra praise God. We see what we're talking about. We're talking about the statement, the purposeful heart applied, praise God. And we see Ezra as he just keeps moving along. Amen. He's formed a plan. He's in the will of God. And he's trying to proceed. And we see the hand of God bringing him along. Amen. So God begins to guide him here. God begins to be that hand that's guiding him, that's taking that good hand of God, that's taking, praise God, and pulling him and taking him along, getting him to his destination. I want to say that the hand of God is a guiding hand. The Word of God is the guiding hand of God that takes us, amen, from where we used to be, where we could be, and takes us to a place where God would have us to be.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God, I'm glad I'm not where I used to be. But I'm glad that I'm not where I'm going to be.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, Brother Bill. God's still working on us. He's got big plans for us, Brother Scott. Take us over to the other side. Over there to a place of glory. Amen. Praise God. Now we're looking for the right way. And we see the enemy that's in the way. But we see God's hand that's taking us in His way. Amen. And we see the guiding hand that does it. It's a hand of God. And that hand's not only a guiding hand, but it's a good hand. Look at Ezra chapter 8 and verse 28, or 22. The last part of the verse, he said, "The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against them that forsake Him." He said, the hand of God is good upon all them. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. So we see the hand of God, it's a good hand. You say, well, preacher, sometimes you said it's not for the wicked, no, because they're not seeking Him. Amen. The hand of God is good to all those who will seek Him. Amen. But we see so many times, praise God, that people will forsake the God of heaven, will forsake the Lord to go about our own merry way, and we wonder why God's not a blessing him like what blessing us like we think He ought to. Amen. And sometimes God does bless you in your sin, but not usually. But the good hand, the Bible says, the good hand is upon them that seek the Lord. That good hand of God is there to help us, praise God, to get us just a little further every day, to encourage us, to show us the way. Amen. So for those that's looking for the right way, and I hope everybody here tonight is looking for the right way. Amen. With a perspective in your heart, a purposeful heart of godliness, praise God, trying to find where God would have us to be. Taking His Word, praise God, working out, thinking upon it, meditating, praying over it, forming a plan with God Almighty as your guide. You say, preacher, was it work? It worked for Ezra.
Yeah.
Amen. It was a statement in Proverbs, but it was applied in the book of Ezra. So we see Ezra, he takes God's Word, His promises, and he applies them to his life. Amen. Looking for the right way, he said in verse 21, he said that's what they were seeking. He said, we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and our little ones. Amen. He said we was looking for the right way. But he said looking for the right way, he said the enemy was in the way. But God Almighty was even able to deal with the enemy that was in the way. I want to ask you in closing tonight this question. Who's your enemy that's in your way? Amen. If you seek in the right way, if you'll look for the right way, if you'll seek God, He'll be good to you. And if we're seeking the right way, who's the enemy? Who's your enemy that's in your way? You want me to tell you the biggest enemy that's in our way? Amen. The biggest enemy that we have, the biggest enemy, praise God, Brother Robert, in our way is you and I. We are our worst enemy. But he said if we'll seek the right way, the godly way, the Bible way. He said, then God Almighty, praise God, He'll begin to work in us and He'll apply it to our life just like He did Ezra, praise God, when he come out over in the Holy Land, amen, praising and worship God in the city of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we get to looking for the right way, it'll get the enemy out of the way. See, I'm my own worst enemy. I give me more problems, more grief than anybody I know. But I'm glad that God said, He promised me here that if I'll look for the right way, seek His way. Now Ezra said that they afflicted ourselves before God. In other words, he said they got down. That word afflicted means they got down and they agonized with God that if there was anything in the way, if there was any hindrance, he said they begged God to take it out of the way. Amen. You know, if we'd do that about every day, amen, we could get rid of some of this fleshliness, amen, worldliness, and we could see that good hand of God. Amen. Just like it was applied to Ezra, it could be applied to you and I. And then the enemy that's in the way could be taken out of the way. As they marched on, praise God, the enemies was waiting by the way. And see, that's what's happening in a lot of our lives. The enemy's waiting by the way. This old flesh that we live in, it's waiting just to rise up. The flesh, for some reason, our old flesh likes to be seen. It likes to be recognized. Amen? But when we start making God the priority in our life, amen, we start seeking to find the right way. Not our way, but God's way. Amen? The flesh has to take a back seat. And God begins to be prevalent in our lives. And people begin to see not us, but they see Him. And I want to say tonight, He's a whole lot better something to look at than you and I. Amen? He's a whole lot more precious, praise God. He's a whole lot more enduring than you and I. Amen? He's a whole lot more satisfying than you and I. Amen? He's a whole lot more able to not leave you disappointed than you and I. Amen? So when we look for the right way, amen, and then we realize the enemy that's in our way, and then we allow God to direct us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. We apply what Ezra did here, praise God. He was a ready scribe who loved God with all his heart. He believed God's word. He trusted God to manifest Himself in his life. And everything he did, he began to plan. He began to devise a plan. Amen. He began to contrive. Amen. He began to scheme and form a plan. You say, man, that was awful. He sounds like Jacob. Hey, Jacob did that too. Amen. For himself, but then he decided he'd just go with God. But Ezra was doing that. In his plan, he put God first. And God took care of the rest of the plan. Amen. Praise God. We can have a plan, but without God in it, it won't be much of a plan. Praise God. But if we'll get to looking for the right way and realize the enemy that's in the way, then we can go God's way, praise God, with His plan. And it's always satisfactory. It'll get you where you're going. Amen. And you won't get there with a pout, as Brother Bill says. You'll get there with a shout, praising God and giving Him glory for all the things that He's done in our lives and what He wants to do. Amen. The place He's gone to prepare. I was talking to a fellow today about that, and I was telling him, I said, well, I was talking to a fellow earlier in the week, and I was talking to one today, and I said, you know, I told a fellow this week, I said, we was talking about heaven. I said, the main thing I want out of heaven is just to be able to see my Savior's face to face. Just to see my Savior face to face. But won't that be? I mean, all this other stuff that you hear about, boy, what it'd be a splendor to see. But the main thing that I want to see, praise God, is my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. My Savior who died for me. I told somebody one day I wanted a balcony. If I got them places and mansions, he says, go and prepare a place for you. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. Doesn't say we'll have a mansion, but said, my Father's place, a house are many mansions. He said, I go prepare a place. I'd like to have a place, praise God, with a balcony, Brother Bill, where anytime I look out, I can see my Savior. Boy, what a place that'd be, amen. To be the one, to see the one. Every time I look out, praise God, who died for me. Praise the Lord. So if we're looking for the right way, praise God, and we realize the enemy. Realize the enemy is just this old body, this old flesh, this old world which we live in. Amen. God said He'll begin. We begin to apply Ezra's plan. Praise God. God begins to be the preeminent one in our lives. And boy, we can just shout and praise and give Him glory. Amen. Till we get across the finish line.